It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him, though often I failed and brought Him much shame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. I too once was lost, then God found His way to me. Now it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take the world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to live for Him.
I trust that's your desire this morning, is to live for Jesus. It's certainly my desire. We fail Him so often. Sometimes we're unfaithful, but God abideth faithful still. In other words, He loves us even when we don't love Him as we should. And He's there for us even when we are not willing to stand there for Him. I'm thankful for the Lord's grace and His mercy. And I'm glad that He's placed a desire in my heart to serve Him with my life. And I believe that He's placed that desire in your heart. If you're saved, I know that He has. It's just a matter if we're going to follow through with it and live life to its fullest, reach our purpose, our fullest potential in life. I want to answer a couple of questions before I get into the message this morning, and then I'll ask a couple of questions. I had a couple of people come to me and ask some questions about missions. You know, what is this missions giving? And so I want to clear this up just as simply as I know how, okay? At Fellowship Baptist Church, and I can't answer how people do it at other churches, okay? I'm the pastor here, and I don't answer for the other churches, and sometimes we get ideas and we learn from others, and I'm certainly not saying that we're closed to that. But at Fellowship Baptist Church, I can't answer for it. Everything that's given to missions goes to missions, and I want you to understand that. So, well, what is missions? Well, in a nutshell, missions is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's missions. And that may be in China. That may be in Argentina. That may be in Mexico, Spain. It's just partnering with people that God has called to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you give to missions at Fellowship Baptist Church, it doesn't go to pay the preacher. It doesn't even go to pay the light bill here. It doesn't go to clean the carpet or to gravel the parking lot. That's not what mission dollars goes for. Not at Fellowship Baptist Church. At Fellowship Baptist Church, mission dollars goes to missions. Because it would be, in our estimation, it would be unethical, uncouth even, to take mission dollars and put them anywhere else. And so for those of you who have asked that question, where does my mission dollars, where does my mission offering go? Well, I want you to know that, and we provide statements to show you that, because we're above board. I believe if there's anything a ministry ought to be, it's above board. In all aspects of ministry, but in particular in the finances of ministry. Anyone that begins to hide finances ought to send a red flag. So you beware of that in home life, in business life, in church life. When there's the hiding of finances in any entity, there ought to be a red flag. I do not hide money from my wife. I cannot say the same for her. No. We just have made it a policy years ago that we make decisions together on the finances of the home. And I've run a couple of businesses. Never have I hid money in business. And I've pastored two churches and been the assistant pastor of a church. And it's just unscrupulous to hide money. It's not honoring to God. And so I wanted to answer that question, because there's some that have come to me and said, what is missions and what do you do with mission dollars? Well, mission dollars goes to missionaries. It goes to mission work. Now, with that said, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I answered a couple that some folks have asked me. Number one, I want you to answer this question in your heart this morning. Number one, are you saved? Now, when I say saved, I want you to listen to the question. I'm not asking, are you a good person? So I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm asking you this morning, are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life that you realized you were a sinner? And as a direct result of you realizing you were a sinner without forgiveness, without God, that you realized that Jesus was the only answer to your sin problem? And you came to Him and you repented of your sin and you trusted by faith the work that He had completed on the cross. And what is that work? Well, He died for our sins according to the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, and He was buried And he rose again from the grave 3 days later, according to the scriptures. Have you trusted that he died for your sin? He died in your place. You invited him into your life to change your life, to forgive you of your sin. And as a direct result of that, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so I ask you that question, are you saved? Now here's another question. And it's directly attached to the first question. Do you believe in a place called hell? Now you say, well, preacher, this is church. This is not a street corner. This is church. Surely everyone in church believes in hell. No, I'm not asking, do you believe it in your head? I'm not asking, do you think that it's a possibility? See, when I ask if you're saved, I want to narrow that down, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I want to make it very clear that not everyone that says they're a Christian is going to heaven. Not everyone that decided to attend church or buy a Bible is going to heaven. You see, Jesus said it is an absolute necessity that you be born again. Ye must be born again. It is an absolute necessity. John 3, verse 7. All right, right from God's word. I am not talking to you about religious dogma. I am not talking to you about man-made religion. I speak to you about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Number two, do you believe in hell? Because I'm convinced that there's a lot of people that say, I believe in hell with their lips, but their actions would tell me differently. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about, and then I'll get into the message this morning. And I just want us to open our eyes. I want God to open our eyes to this. See, just as there's a lot of people that say, I'm saved, and are not, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And they'll begin to proclaim all that they have done instead of what Christ has done for them as a reason why they should be granted entrance into the kingdom or entrance into heaven. And nothing man can do will get you into heaven. It is the finished work of Christ alone. And yet there are many people, though they hear it so clearly, as I try to lay it out here this morning, they will still stumble at that, and they will still try to make a personal attempt to get to heaven in their own work. And it's the same with hell. Though there are many that would raise their hand today, should I say, probably everyone in here, and would say, yes, I believe in a place called hell, yet I believe our actions kind of betray our word. In other words, what if I ask you, do you enjoy eating steak? I do. And I've got the fat to prove it. Amen. I enjoy eating steak. And yet, you begin to watch me or inquire the people that are around me and look at my checkbook and see, you know what? Preacher says he enjoys eating steak, but he never eats it. See, we can say a lot of things, but life is not what we say. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 7, Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day. So please, let's get out of this mindset that what we say is what we do or believe. It's not. You see, actions speak louder than words. You ever heard that statement? Actions speak louder than words. You want to find out if you believe in hell? Answer some questions about it. What are you doing to keep people out of there? What am I doing? If we believe in hell, we've got to be doing something to keep people out of there. If you believe in something, you know a little something about it. Do the research. Find out about it. Can I tell you that hell is very seldom spoken on in our churches today? And it's because we think it offends people. Hey, listen, I'd rather offend you and you find out there's a hell than not offend you and you die in your sin and go there. And I'm not out to offend anyone. But I want you to know what God's Word says about this place called hell. I like what one man said after he heard an evangelist preached. He went forward, an evangelist preached on hell, and he went forward and he said, you know, he said, I've never heard a message on this place. I've heard the Word. I've always believed that there was a place, but when you preach this, it so moved me that I believe in my soul that I would crawl over broken glass to tell others about this place. What would you do to tell somebody about it? Oh, preacher, I'd do more than that. How many people did you tell about it last week? Last month? We're into March this year. Have you told anyone about it? You see, it's easy to sit in our comfort zone and say, I believe in this place. And I believe that people who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ will die in their sin and go to this place. Don't want them to. Don't want that to happen. But I believe that it will. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet he has provided a way, and there are many that do not know this way. And it's our responsibility to tell them. What have we done? I want to talk to you about hell. And I want us just to look at the scripture, at this very simple story here. And then we'll have to ask our own selves this question, and we'll have to be honest with ourselves and answer that question. Do I really believe in this place? Do I believe in a place called hell? Is it real? Is hell real? Who goes there? You say, I believe every child abuser ought to go to hell. I believe a person that would molest a child, preacher, ought to go to hell. I believe that a person that would take an innocent life, I believe they ought to go to hell, preacher. Can I tell you that God's not willing that any should go to hell? That's why he sent Jesus to die for their sin. And yet there will be people, and already are there, that have never, listen, they have never abused a child, they have never molested a child, they have never taken an innocent life. They are in hell because they refused to accept God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. All people go to hell who refuse that. So I want us to get the record straight now according to God's Word. You do not go to heaven by being a good person. Good people do not go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Bad people, just because they're bad, do not go to hell. There's not a person sitting in the building today under the sound of my voice. At some point in your life, you haven't been bad. And so if being bad takes us to hell, we're all going. But I'm glad I'm not going. And it's nothing because of what I've done. I have simply trusted the work that Jesus did on my behalf. Now, here is an account in the Scripture that Jesus wanted us to know about. Look at it. It's a very familiar account in the Scripture. In Luke chapter number 16, I want you to read with me. Now, I want to make this very clear. The Bible is the Word of God. So I'm not going to tell you what Baptists believe. I'm not going to tell you what Methodists believe. I'm not going to tell you what Lutherans or Catholics or Pentecostal or those of the Islamic faith or those of the Hindu faith or those of the Buddha faith. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Because Jesus said in this book right here that every person is going to answer to the God of this book, and that we are going to give an account for the words that are in this book. We're going to answer according to what's written in this book. You say, well, I'm going to answer according to my conscience. No, you're not. Well, I'm going to answer according to what I believe is right, preacher. No, you're not. You see, what I think is right and what is right may be two different things. Oftentimes it is. So don't you think now, well, I believe this and that's going to settle it. No, you see, what God has said is going to settle it. Well, I don't even believe in hell. Well, there's a lot of people in hell who didn't believe in it until they got there. But I'm going to tell you right now, when they get there, they believe in it. Too late then, though. So if you're going to believe in hell, now's the time to believe it and do something about it. Let's read this story. Jesus said there was a certain rich man. Now, if we're not careful, we'll read those words and we'll think multimillionaire. Far as I can tell, this rich man simply had nice clothes and plenty to eat. Far as I can tell. I think that'd make most of us rich. Now look, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Look at what the scripture says. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he had all that he needed. Now, I think I speak to a group of people that probably would meet that description. You know, God has so blessed we here in America. We live in abundance. We live in abundance. And I believe with my whole heart that the reason that many live in superabundance is because we have taken many of what things that God has given to give through us, and we have accepted as something God has given to us. See, God has given us things to pass on to others that are in need, and we've kept it for ourselves. This man, it appears that God gave him some things to help some others, but he wasn't willing to do it. God even put a man at his front doorstep, and he still wouldn't help him. Look what the scripture says here. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. That means that he had more than his necessities. He had some luxuries. All right, that's what that word sumptuously. He fared sumptuously. He had more than necessities. He had some luxuries. How many people in the building today could say, preacher, I've got more than necessity. I have some luxuries. Raise your hand. If you're on a TV, raise your hand. That's not a necessity. Just trying to help you out. If you got a cell phone, raise your hand. You see what I'm saying? See, what we think is luxury, many times we look at the Hollywood crowd and we look at the multimillionaires and we think, well, they live in luxury. If you've got more than you need, you're living in a little luxury. Amen. And so let's not make this man something he's not. The Bible's very clear here, and it says that Jesus said there was a certain rich man which he had good clothes and he had more than his needs. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. Now here's a homeless man. All right? He's homeless. Now I'm not talking about one of these folks that hold out a sign and say they're homeless. He was actually literally homeless. So here was a homeless man. And he didn't have food to put in his belly. He didn't have a lot of the things that many of us enjoy. And so the Bible says that some people knew that this man here in verse number 19 had some things. So he didn't walk there. Some people took him. He obviously was lame. Look at what the Bible says. And notice with me now in verse number 20, it says that this certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at the gate. You see that? Are you looking? Are you following what the Bible says? I want you to see what the Bible says. So often we get in our minds the way things are, but we need to know what the Bible says. And so here was this man who had, well, he had more than he needed. He had some luxuries, and here was a man who didn't even have what he needed. And so he was brought to this rich man's gate. And the Bible says in verse number 22, now I don't know how many days passed by, but the rich man came rolling in and there was the beggar at his gate. Rich man went rolling out, there was the beggar at his gate. Rich man came rolling back in day after day. Don't know how long this took place. I just know that God made this man aware of a need. And he said, I have so blessed you that you ought to help meet this man's need. He's here. I'm giving you an opportunity to look out after someone other than yourself. Now, this man didn't die in his sin and go to hell because of that. But I want to tell you that God oftentimes in life will give us opportunity to help other people. Because God knows that life finds real purpose when we live it for someone outside of ourselves. And yet in America, this country has become so self-consumed We have become so consumed with things and us, ourselves, that we have lost the joy and the purpose of what life really is. And so now someone can do something and maybe dent our car and we just fall all to pieces. I mean, man, we're ready to shoot somebody. You dent my car. I'll have you know, I'll kill you. You put a little ding in my car. Now, don't get me wrong. It's disrespectful to damage someone else's property. Say amen. But now, if you're willing to get all in a rage and actually go to war with someone because their dog went to whatever on your lawn, then, hey, I got to tell you something. You've got your priorities mixed up. At the end of the day, it's grass. At the end of the day, your car's metal. We have got so consumed with things that we've lost our perspective. And so that's what was happening here. And this is what Jesus, our Lord, is trying to get us to see. He said in another place in this Gospel of Luke that a man's life, it consists more of the abundance of things. Don't get wrapped up in materialism. Don't get wrapped up in the next little gadget that you can lay your hands on. Learn what it is to invest and not spend and waste. Then he said this. He said in verse number 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So we kind of get a view of two men's lives, okay? You got one man, you with me? Life, two of them. One had more than he needed, one didn't have what he needed. Now death. Death is the great equalizer, right? They both died. And now we're getting ready to look at the third aspect of life that many people tend to forget. Folks don't want to talk about death. We want to talk about life. Well, we're alive. We thank God for life. It's a gift. Use it wisely. Thank God for life. But now death is coming. All right? Death is coming. And when I was 20, it was harder to realize that. Now that I'm 58, I realize a little more. And you don't have to be old to die. Don't misunderstand me. But you don't even have to be sick to die. There's healthy people that die every day. So don't get in your mind, well, I'm not old, I'm not sick, I have a lot of time to live. Well, you may, and I pray that you do, but you may not. And so I want you to understand, there's life and then there's death. Now we're getting ready to cross over into eternity. Eternity. And this is the aspect that Jesus wants to hone in on and take a look at some things in eternity. There's two men, we get to see their life. One man didn't have a whole lot, one man had more than he needed. And then in death, one man was buried, and it appears from what the Bible says in verse 22 that this rich man was buried. In other words, he was given an elaborate burial and ceremony. Well, the old beggar in verse number 22 died, and the Bible says the angels came and just carried him away. Not a whole lot made of his death, but they both died and slipped off into eternity. Now, let's look at what Jesus wants us to learn. I want you to know something about this place called hell. Hell's a real place, brethren. Now, it's real. It's just as real as earth and heaven. See, earth is real. It's real. God made this earth. The fullness of the earth. Listen, the Lord made it all and all that's therein. God made it all. God made it all. There are galaxies that scientists are just now knowing that is out there. Can I tell you, God made all of that. God made it all. And there's a place called hell. And unfortunately, that was a place that was prepared, according to Matthew 25, for the devil and his angels. But yet there are many that have gone there, and they have gone there as unwelcome guests because they did not have to go there. You do not have to go to heaven. You do not have to go to hell. You get to choose. But now the choice that you make, as we shall see here in this section of Scripture, is fixed. So let's see what it says. I want you to know, first of all, in verse number 23, it says, and in hell, verse 23, Jesus speaking, in hell, this man that in life was called rich, by the way, after death, he was never called rich again. The beggar was never called a beggar again.
See, death is the great equalizer. You understand that? In life, rich, beggar, dead. In eternity, never called those again. Never called those again. So the Bible says in hell, in verse number 23, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he was in hell. Now you say, well, preacher, I had a preacher tell me that this place called hell was just a state of the mind. And it's just a state. It's really not a place. Well, look, if you would, in verse number 28 of Luke 16, this is the rich man speaking. And he said, I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this. What's that next word? Place. Hell is a place. I want you to get that. It's a place. It's not a figment of imagination. It's a real place where people that reject God's love, reject God's payment of sin, people that reject the gospel, die without Christ, they go there. It's a place. It's a place. It's real. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's not some conjured up theory or hypotheses. It's a place that Jesus said was real, and people who die in their sin will go there. It's real. And there is an enemy that is trying to get many to discredit this place, insomuch that this word hell is used in everyday common language. Hell this, hell that, hell of a this, hell of a that, hell, hell, hell. It's used and it's laughed at and it's mocked, but I'm here to tell you that it's no joke. It is real. And friends and family members and loved ones that die without Christ will go here. And there are times in my life that I'm ashamed that I don't feel like that man that said I would crawl over broken glass to keep someone from going to this place. I do not want to see anyone go to this place. Now, if you're like me, you've had some people in life that maybe didn't do you the best. They've done you wrong. Maybe they've lied on you, or they've stolen from you, or they've tried to besmirch your character. But as I stand before you and as I stand before God today, I can say without reservation, I do not want to see anyone go to this place. No one. I know too much about it. I've read what Jesus said about it. I've read what the Bible, Jesus spoke on hell 53 times. He spoke on hell more than he spoke on heaven. His first message was on hell. His final message was on hell. The Bible has a lot to say about this place. And it says that we ought to be warning men. We ought to be warning people. We ought to be doing all that we can to see that people do not go to this place. It's a real place. I want to tell you what the Bible says. You can write down these verses if you'd like. This is not the preacher's definition of hell. This is the Bible's definition. So would you write these verses down? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it's called the bottomless pit. Matthew 18 and verse number 9, it's called a place of torments. In Luke chapter 16, as we have read, it's called a place of torments. In Matthew 25 and verse number 41, it's called everlasting fire. In Matthew 25 and verse number 30, it's called outer darkness. In Mark chapter number 9, and I'm going to ask you to hold your place here and turn with me to that. Turn back to the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 9, Jesus is speaking about this place called hell. And Jesus said, this place that I speak to you about is so terrible. He said, you ought to at all costs stay away from this place. Jesus said, now don't you go to that place called hell. At all costs, stay away from this place. Notice, begin reading with me if you would, in verse number 43 of Mark chapter number 9. Are you there? Mark chapter 9, verse 43. It says, Jesus is speaking now, and he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know what Jesus is saying here? He said, this place called hell is on fire and it never goes out. It never goes out. You never get out and the fire never goes out. Now listen to me. Jesus said that. Not some preacher, not some man, not some theory, not some scientific study, The creator of the universe said that. Look, if you would, in verse number 45. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Look at verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. What's Jesus saying? He said, this is such a terrible place. It is such a terrible place to go. Stay out of this place at all cost. At all cost. Stay away from this place. Well, the same person said stay away from it, made a way so you don't have to go there. He died in your place. And Jesus didn't just die for a select few. Listen, people who teach that are ignorant to the Bible. People that teach that there are just a handful or a select group of people that Jesus died for, they're ignorant to the Bible and what it teaches. My Bible says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Did you get that? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, my friend, that means you if you're here today and you're not saved. That means you. I'm glad for the day I realized it meant me. I used to laugh and scoff at a place called hell. I mocked it in ignorance, in foolishness. But I thank God that he removed the scales from my eyes and showed me my foolishness and my sin. And I repented of my sin and asked Christ to be my Savior. Have a whole new view of that place now. Whole new view. Don't want anybody to go there. Don't want anyone to go there. Now let's turn back to Luke 16. It's a real place. It's a real place. This man had a conviction of that. He did. He had a conviction. I wonder if you have a conviction that hell's real. I'll tell you how you can find out real quick. When's the last time you told somebody what they need to do to stay out of it? Now think about that. See, it's one thing to say we believe in this place, but if we're not doing some things to keep people out of this place, we must question our commitment to that belief. I'm not trying to shame anyone. I'm trying to get us to think logically here, reasonably. If we're not praying for people to stay out of hell, if we're not witnessing and trying to tell people what they need to do to stay out of this place, this past week, that's what the whole missions revival was about. Let's send more people out so that they can tell more people about Jesus and stay out of this place. Don't you think just because someone doesn't speak English that they're going to, God's going to let them into heaven? Well, you know, these poor people over in Argentina, these poor people in socialistic Venezuela, these poor people over in Spain, and those poor people under the communist regime of China, God will let them in. You will never read that anywhere in the Bible. See, you need to study your history. Many of these places had the gospel. They had the gospel light. They rejected it. And that's one of the reasons they're in the darkness that they're in today. You don't have to go back too far to find Europe and France. The fires of revival was burning. Now look at them. It's even seeping into our own country. So don't look at these places as they are now. Look at them through history and find out we need to get the gospel light back into these places. Not into. Did you notice how I said that? Back into these places. Hell's a real place. Hell has conviction. Look, notice this in verse number 24. You know, I wish that we could read this as it really read. Look at verse 24, if you would. And he cried. You know, it'd do you good to go home and look that word up. It literally means screamed. Hell's not a quiet place. It's not. Hell's a very loud place. He cried. He was screaming. And he screamed out. And he's screaming for mercy in verse 24. He was screaming for mercy. And he said, have mercy on me. See, that's the way a lot of people, you live selfish, you die selfish. Listen to me. Don't. Notice what God's doing here. You die like you live. Don't mistake in your mind, well, you know, I'm just going to sow my wild oats and live any old way I want. Then when I come time to die, I'm just going to change everything and die differently. No, you're not. No, you're not. See, all that's just a lie of the enemy. That's people trying to play games in their mind. You're going to die like you live. Understand this now. This man lived selfishly. He died selfishly. And in hell, he was selfish. Take care of me. Right? That was his first thought. I need some water. There's some things that you need to know about hell, and I'm going to mention them to you. Verse 23, I want you to look at it. He seeth Abraham, what's that next word say? Afar. Afar. You say, well, I hope when I go to hell, I'll be this close to heaven. Afar. Afar. I hope when I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Outer darkness. See, understand the place. Don't believe the lie. Don't make yourself believe something that's not so. Afar. It's a place of separation. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. He said, have mercy on me. But there was no mercy. See, if you're going to get mercy, it's going to be in this life. Hear me now. Hear me. If you're going to get mercy, it's going to be in this life. That person that you've been thinking of, that I've been thinking of, that needs the gospel, need to get them the gospel. Can I tell you, the hands of time are ticking. The sands and the hourglass are running. Time is running out. The devil will have you to think and me to think that we've got all kinds of time. We have all kinds of time. You might not have beyond today. And that person you're thinking of may not have beyond today either. And so we need to put an urgency, a relevancy on this thing of reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you say, well, it's making me feel a little uncomfortable. Good. Good. I want to make you so uncomfortable that you'll get up out of your seat and do something about your condition. Amen. It's real. This is real. So, well, in Hollywood, they all have happy endings, preacher. This is not Hollywood. It's real life. And there are those that will die with good intentions, but good intentions is what paved the way to their hell. They kept thinking, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. Never do. Die in that condition. Now they're in hell. That's sad. Don't let that happen to you. He said in verse 24, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Then notice, if you would, in verse number 25, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. You know when that was in the past? He said, remember your past. Look at it. Remember thou in thy lifetime. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 25 where it says right there at the end of it, but now. Isn't that amazing? You know, there was a time when this could have changed, but you elected not to change it. Remember in your lifetime? You see that? See, this is real. This is real. There's some way that we think, you know what, we're gonna be like this forever. No, we're not. I doubt we'll ever be like this again. Next week will be different. How many people just in our congregation have slipped off into eternity in the last 6 months? It happens. One day I'm going to slip off into eternity. You're going to slip off into eternity. Those that we love, those that we pray for, are going to slip off into eternity. We need to make sure that we've done our part. Now, you can't make people do anything, but you can sure present it. You can sure get under a burden. Remember, he said. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's two groups of people, brethren. I want you to watch this now. Don't miss this. Two groups. There's those in heaven, those in hell. In eternity, okay? After this life is over, there's just two groups. Not three, not four, not five. Just two. And there's two places. Notice what he said now. Look at it very close. In verse 26. So that they which would pass from hence. I want you to underline that word. That's paradise. Those that would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Underline that word. That's hell. There's only two places. Well, preacher, I just pray that some priest will pray me out of purgatory. Not going to happen. There's no such place. It's made up. There's no holding cell for hell. Hear me now. The Bible says, notice it once again now. Don't miss this. Go back, if you would, to verse number 22. It says that the rich man also died. You see that in verse number 22? The rich man also died. He was buried and immediately in hell. Is that what the Bible says? So don't listen. Don't listen to a religion now. Don't listen to a religion. A religion will tell you wrong. A religion will lie to you. Listen to God. Listen to God. There's no holding cell. You determine where you're going to spend eternity in this life. In this life. You don't get to another opportunity. Well, I hope God will give me one more chance and I'll make the right choice. That's not what happens, brethren. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's lies like this that have caused people to lose a burden, to have absolutely no care about the souls of men. But the Bible teaches there's two places. There's hence and thence. You see that? And guess what? Verse 26 says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. Look at that next word. Fixed. You go to hell, that's it forever. Now, thank God, the reverse side of that, if you go to heaven, that's forever too. Amen. These are some things about hell that we need to understand. It's a real place. People are going there. Perhaps in the back of your mind, the devil has said, hey, what is it with this missions thing? What is it? The preacher always talking about winning souls and bus routes and Sunday school and going out soul winning. What is this thing about getting people saved? You ever heard somebody say, you know, these old Christians always trying to push religion on me. Now, we're just trying to keep you out of hell. Listen to me. Now, some don't do it right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for pushing, backing somebody in a corner and pressing it and cramming it down their throat. You've never seen this preacher do that by the grace of God. But I'm telling you now that I'm concerned that people are dying in their sin and going to hell. And I believe every real Christian should be, because it's a real place and people are going there. And once they get there, they don't get out. Because there's a great gulf in verse 26, fixed. You don't go to a place and then God lets you out if you're on good behavior. Listen to me now. That's not what happens. Let me give you a couple more truths and I'll be through for this morning. So we see that once this man gets to hell, I'm not sure that he believed before he got there. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I read just recently that a good 65% of the people in America now say, we don't believe in hell. Let me tell you something about what people believe. That doesn't determine the truth. It wouldn't matter to me if 99% of the people in America said they didn't believe in hell. That's not going to change my mind of what God says there is one. And I pray that you would not allow it to change yours. While there's 65% of Americans who say there is no hell, 100% of people in hell believe there is a hell. But it's too late. It's too late. This man changed. How did he change? Well, let's look at this and then I'll be through. But I do want you to see this. Preacher, do you really believe that people can go to Argentina and preach in their native tongue and people can get saved? If I didn't believe that, brethren, I wouldn't believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I didn't believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen, God knows my heart. I wouldn't stand up here and preach to you. I wouldn't. I wouldn't preach to you. If I didn't believe in the power of the gospel, see, I have no confidence in man. Don't misunderstand me now. I thank God for good people that he's put in this church. But brethren, this thing's way beyond our ability. I'm talking to you about supernatural. Man is on the natural realm. Spiritual lives and spiritual things are on the supernatural realm. God has got to get involved in this or no one's going to heaven. And I'm glad that God did get involved, aren't you? God got involved through his son Jesus. And he made a way. This man got to hell, it changed him. How did it change him? Well, you read with me. In verse 27, let's read this and we'll be through today. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest, look at that next word, sin.
You know, in heaven, the word is go. It's go. When heaven came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes. Go out into the highways and the hedges. Go, ye therefore. The word from heaven is go. The word from earth is come. Right? The Macedonian call. Come on over and help us. Right? Isn't that the call? You hear these missionaries, many of them say, come and help us. There's so many lost people around there. Come and help us. If God laid on your heart to come to Cambodia, come to Cambodia and help us. If God laid on your heart to come to China, come to China and help us. So the word in heaven is go. The word on earth is come, but the word from hell is send. Send. Send them. Send them. Look at what he said. He said, send them to my Father's house. You think he believes in door-to-door now? You think he believes in outreach ministry, door-to-door, house-to-house? I believe he does. It took hell to get him there, but now he believes in helping other people. Send them to my Father's house. Look at verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify. You believe he believes in preaching? You believe he believes in sharing the gospel now? You see what Jesus is teaching us here? Boy, hell has a way of changing people's perspective. And as I read about it and study about it, God has changed my perspective. And I pray that God would change someone else's perspective here this morning. This is not a game. Listen, you don't get a second chance here. Life, you get one go-round, brethren. Please understand this. It's one go-round. Notice what he said. I have five brethren. You testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, watch this now. But if one went unto them from the dead, look at that next phrase. They'll join the church. If that's all you've done to stay out of hell, you're not going to make it. Well, if one went to them from the dead, they'd get baptized. If that's all you've done, thinking that's going to get your sin forgiven, you're not going to make it. What if one went for them to the dead and said, hey, there's this place called hell, and would testify to them, they'd live a better life. They'd do better. It takes more than that. Look at the word this man in hell uses. Some Baptist preachers, some people call themselves preachers, are afraid to use this word in church anymore. Look what he said. If one went from them unto them, verse 30, from the dead, they will repent. What a strong word. What a strong word. Because the only way that you're going to stay out of hell is to repent. Jesus said, I tell you nay, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is real. And this week, as the man of God was preaching, he finally got told here, listen, it's not going to take anything other than what God's given. God's given his word. God's given his word. And God will use his word to keep people out of this place. But there's many people that don't have the opportunity in case we get involved in helping them. Say, preacher, do you give to missions? I have for many years. Should I give to missions? Everyone should give to missions. If you're saved, you ought to give to missions. Why? Well, are you saved? You enjoying your life as a saved person? I'm enjoying my life as a saved person. Now, you might look at the preacher and think, well, I tell you, the preacher's got a lot. You don't know me well. I have everything I need by the grace of God. God's met every need I have, and I am so grateful for it. I think some people think the preacher's rich. In some ways I am, because God is my Father. But I have not invested my life in material things. I don't even own a house. I'm not saying that for any other reason to let you know. I want you to know some things about me this morning. I'll be transparent with you. I don't own a house. I rent. I own a 2010 car. That doesn't make me special. I just want you to know, I've tried to invest my life in the lives of others. This means I'm not preaching something to you that I haven't tried to live by example. I'm not saying if you own a house or two or ten that you don't care about other people. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Don't think you know people until you do know them. Okay? My wife and I have tried to invest in the lives of other people. That's what God's called us to do. Now, maybe God hasn't called you to do it the way we do it. Matter of fact, I know He hasn't. But if you're saved, God has called on you to invest in someone else's life. Get out of just you and get into what other people have. And try to help meet that need. All right? Try to help meet that need. Who do you know that's not saved? Do you work with them? Do you work with them? Are they your neighbor? Do you go to church with them? This is serious. People die and go to hell. This area needs more churches that believe in hell. This church needs more Christians that believe in hell. Hell is real. And people are going there. Let's stand to our feet. Say, preacher, I'm not going to give any money so that people can hear about Jesus and not go to hell. Then don't. That's not why I preach this message. I preach this message to keep somebody maybe in this room today from going there. Because you think you're okay. You're not okay. You're not okay. Religion has sent more people to hell than anything I know of. And that little religious experience you had is not going to cut it when you stand before a holy God. It's not. It's time to get serious. We go through seasons, don't we? It's serious. Who do you know that's going to die and go to hell if you don't tell them? It might be some of your young people. It might be some of your parents. It might be your siblings. Parents, it may be some of your children. You think, well, we have them in church, preacher. Church never kept anybody out of hell. Listen to me now. You bring them to church, they don't even listen. Something wrong with that. Deeply. This is not a game. Church is a game to many people. It's a front. It's a put on. It's real. Hell is real. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, and I'm going to ask the pianist to come.